This is Gerald Everett, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the Epic Roster Watch Podcast, brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap, joined today by the Trash Man, going over the Week 11 waiver wire, one that I didn't think was such a great week on waivers until I kind of looked at it and saw the availability of some of these players in certain leagues, and certainly a few, it's not a group that... Trash Man, I know that you specialize in these players that come with these stinky warts on them. So we'll go through the waiver wire cheat sheet available at RosterWatch.com, of course. If you're watching this on YouTube, if you click, give us a click, a like, if you can subscribe, if you want more of this content, we certainly appreciate it. Also, in the comments section, if you want to ask us about players that you might consider dropping this week or recycling into the trash pile and picking up some of these other guys, list them in the chat. And at the very end of the pod, Trashman and I will go over those, talk to you about whether or not those guys are safe to drop. So, Trashman, what the hell's going on, brother? Where did you go this weekend? You flew somewhere. You were on a jet set.
I was in Mexico.
Mexico?
Oaxaca.
You didn't come back with much of a tan.
A little bit darker. I was in Oaxaca for a few days for a friend's birthday.
Any favorite, just quickly, any favorite memories or any, what was your favorite thing about Oaxaca?
Eating.
What part of Mexico is Oaxaca in? My parents used to talk about going there whenever they were younger.
It's the south. It's in southern Mexico. Okay. Like in the, almost to Guatemala, really. But it's one of the more cultured parts of Mexico because it's in a valley. But it's insulated by these mountains. So a lot of the culture is still there. Some of the best food I've ever had, like it's such a big food city. And it's like 20 pesos to the dollar. So your money goes an incredibly long way.
I know people aren't going to care about this, but I went down to deep interior Mexico one time with my parents when I was younger, this place called Zacatecas. And, of course, we grew up down here in Texas. So like, your parents take you to Mexico sometimes for family trips. It used to be a little bit safer, but one time we went down there and trash me. You said the food's so good. I remember this buffet that we went to this one time where they had all you could eat, like bacon wrapped fillets. And they called them these little filetes, I think. And you're supposed to be able to have all you can eat. And so I was like a 14-year-old kid playing football. I went back through. My parents said I ate like 10 of those things. They started coming over and asking what, dude, that night it was so high up in the mountains there, and the air was so dry. My nose got all dry. I'd eaten all that red meat, and I got this nosebleed that just wouldn't stop.
Nothing like that happened where I was. I just ate a lot of great food and didn't pay a lot of money for it.
Sounds about like usual for you. All right, let's get on to this. And so, look at the running back position this week on waivers. Like we said, three guys that all come with warts and storylines with them sort of at the very top here. Again, you can find Trash Man's waiver wire cheat sheet over at RosterWatch.com, the same as you can every week. They'll identify the free agent bids that you might be wanting to put in for these guys. But at the very – in the top tier of running backs, we have three of these guys. The first is – I hate to say it, but it's Ramondre Stevenson of the Patriots, a guy who I've clearly not been high on throughout this process, and a guy who the Patriots, to my credit, to my defense, haven't been high on. He's only gotten the opportunities when he's been completely, they've just been shoved in the corner and had to play this guy.
But he's actually doesn't have a terrible yard per carry average.
No, he doesn't, and he's used in the receiving game, and he was able to, he was able to eclipse 100 total yards, get five targets last week versus the decent Cleveland defense. He got in for two touchdowns. He could have got in for he could have got in for three touchdowns. He got stuffed once on the goal line, and then he also had one pass that he dropped right there at the edge of the goal line. So it could have been an even bigger day for Ramondre Stevenson. Here's the problem. That was a game where we saw Brandon Bolden at least get kind of banged up in that game. We had no Damian Harris in that game. And, you know, when it's just down to Ramondre Stevenson and a J.J. Taylor, who they don't know in any given week if that guy's even going to be active or not. It's sort of the same as it was with Ramondre to start the year now with J.J. It's like Ramondre is going to get the run, and that's just kind of what it is. Mac Jones is a good quarterback at dumping it off to these guys. He's a smart quarterback that can check into runs. And when you put all those things together, Ramondre Stevenson, despite the fact that I was not impressed with him at his Senior Bowl, I wasn't over-impressed with his film. I certainly wasn't buying into, you know, I wasn't buying into any of the stuff that people were buying into him in the preseason. At this point, I mean, he could be big for your fantasy team if we do get no Damian Harris this week with his concussion. And the fact of the matter is, you pointed out, Trash Man, they play Thursday. So we're not going to know today, you know, as long as we don't know and it's still up in the air that he could get a start this week. Let me look at the matchup tool. I made the matchup tool a little bit earlier. Do you know off the top of your head who it was we were talking about, who they play? It is New England.
Falcons.
Oh, God. So the number three matchup of the week at the Falcons. I mean, I feel like he's got to be at the top of the sheet for now. What do you think?
Yeah. I think just with the position that he's in potentially on a Thursday night against the Falcons could be the lead back there. Yeah, it's and there's no one behind him who I feel like is as much of an immediate threat to get, you know, 15 to 20 touches.
Well, the thing is, I think he's still just – he kind of turns back into a dust ball when Damian Harris is back, right? I mean, this doesn't feel like a situation where a dude like Ramondre Stevenson is going to take the job and run with it, even though we did basically see better workhorse usage out of Ramondre Stevenson in this game than we've really seen out of a Patriots runner in a long time. You know, not used not only in the run game, but in the receiving game, used down at the goal line. It was like if he – I mean, the fact is he's not going to be able to retain that role. We've not seen the Patriots ever use a running back in that – role. You know, it's always been this committee. It's always been a three-headed committee. It's like, so I think just the fact though that it could be another 1 week of this, it makes Ramondre, you know, definitely if he's available in your league, probably a good pickup. If we can get another spot start here on Thursday night where the surrounding personnel looks the same as it did this last weekend, because the matchup is a lot better. Okay, well, that brings us to another guy. So that's kind of the pros and cons with Ramondre Stevenson, right? He's probably a one – you're not going to get this for the rest of the season, but you might get it for 1 week.
Yeah.
And, Jesus, we got to win every week right now. So the next guy, Deontay Foreman, is probably more of a long view type of guy. He is a guy who down the stretch could – you could see him – coming into a role, because as the complete opposite of what the Patriots are, the Tennessee Titans have shown us that they're a team that's 100% happy and 100% okay with just giving the football to one guy over and over and over and over and over again. And they're going to get Derrick Henry back this year for their playoffs, but for our fans, but not for us, right? Not for us. And so somebody's going to have to come along here. And we've seen over the course of the last 2 weeks that Deontay Foreman simply looks better than Adrian Peterson. He looks better as a receiver than Adrian Peterson. He has better pad level than Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson, he looks like he's sapped, dude. He doesn't have the juice. Deontay Foreman.
He's 36 years old.
You got to remember that Deontay Foreman won the fucking Doak Walker Award. He left college early to go play in the NFL. He was starting to bust out as a Houston Texan before tearing his Achilles, and he's bounced around since then. But we've seen that these Achilles injuries, I mean – we don't know for sure, and knock on wood, is about Cam Akers, but we're hearing that Cam Akers, you look at the videos of him, he's already running, cutting, doing all this stuff. People are saying, man, maybe these Achilles are just kind of not even really as bad as these really bad ACLs. So we'll have to see. The story is still yet to be written about Deontay Foreman and his recovery from the Achilles, but he looks better. than Adrian Peterson. He certainly, dude, you can squint and he looks like Derrick Henry back there. Even with the hair coming all the way out the back and how big he is and stuff, he does.
He's not as big as Derrick Henry.
Oh, God. Deontay Foreman's 235, 240 pounds.
Really?
Yes, dude. He's not quite as big as Deontay, but he's one of the bigger backs in the National Football League. And he has the long hair and he's got the style. He's got the body style kind of like him. He's like he runs a lot faster than you think a man like that should. He's still got the vision. He can still hit the hole. And they've designed these pass plays for him. So I think that.
Julio. Who knows what's going to go on with Julio, but they don't have many offensive weapons at this point.
What's up to George Cook? What's up to Daniel Schaefert? Thank you guys. Look, we're going over waiver stuff right now, but I guess we can just look. I can't answer Daniel's question about who to sit and start between James Robinson and Elijah Mitchell and AJ Dillon at this point in the week. Please just stay tuned on the site. Wait till we get the matchup tool up. Wait till we get our initial rankings up. Wait till we get our models. And
my initial inclination is Elijah Mitchell, but
yeah, I mean, who does James Robinson even play this? I mean, James Robinson is at home versus San Francisco.
San Francisco,
yeah. So I guess my initial lean would be Elijah out of that. Wait, but who's Green Bay play? Because Aaron Jones is out this week.
I mean, it doesn't matter to me. AJ Dillon gets the backfield to himself.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. AJ Dillon. Oh, he's saying who sits out? Who sits out?
That's what I'm saying. Mitchell sits.
Okay, Smokey the Cat. Cat, what's going on, brother? He wants to know if he should trade Dalvin for Zeke and Higgins. Look, I don't know. We're talking waivers here, but as long as you guys are here in here commenting, I'm worried about Dalvin and this whole domestic kind of violence thing. His agent sort of really came out with a very proactive stance saying that like he's the victim of extortion here. All this, when you see somebody come out guns blazing like that and trying to get way, way out in front of it, there sometimes could be something to it, I think. So, I mean, I'm not sure if anything's going to happen with Dalvin or if he'll face anything for this, but I'm a little bit goosey about Dalvin so far this year. And I think that if you could get Zeke and Higgins for him, especially if you have Madison and Pollard already on your bench, I think that would make some sense if you're maybe a little bit worried like I am that there could be something to this whole domestic incident that could rear its head down the stretch. Also, if you guys have questions, like I said, about who you should be dropping for your waivers this week, let us know. All right. And so Deontay is up there. And of course, Devontae Freeman, we got the word this morning that Le'Veon Bell has been released from the Baltimore Ravens. Clearly, that's a talk about dust balls. That's a horrible running back situation that they have there. But Devontae Freeman has been kind of good as of late. He's still available in just a little less than half of leagues. So with Latavius Murray coming back, clearly, you know, that kind of bites into the picture just a little bit. But if it's just Latavius and Devontae Freeman, that's a good offense. And if you're hurting, you know, there's a lot of people who are hurting right now at the running back position. I think that Devontae Freeman, while he does, like the rest of these guys, have certain things you can pick at. I think, Trash Man, you've outlined where you would go as far as a free agent bid. What would you think about Devontae Freeman, and are all three of these guys going to be guys who you would burn like a number one or a number two waiver priority on if you had that?
I mean, I could do that on Stevenson. On Deontay too. Devontae, I guess as much as they run the ball, I guess it's good. I just don't see as much upside with Devontae. As much scoring upside.
What about the question?
Oh, with Russell Wilson and Lockett?
Oh, that's the good. Did somebody ask you that? George Cook. Can y'all answer mine? I appreciate Jesus. These guys, man. So he's saying, all right, George Cook, we'll answer your question. This Trashman, I want you to answer my question. Would you burn a number one or number two waiver wire position for any of these guys up the top?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I could do it for Stevenson. I could do it for Foreman.
You're blessed with free.
Yeah.
All right. George Cook asks, I already have Joe Burrow. Do I trade Russell Wilson and Lockett for Deontay Johnson? half PPR. No. Trade Burrow and Lockett for Deontay Johnson if you're going to do anything like that, I would say.
I mean, I'm not trading Lockett. I mean, if you look at it for Deontay Johnson, I probably wouldn't trade Lockett straight up for Deontay.
Yeah, it's just I can understand why he's asking it though, because Lockett is just so hard to pick the weeks.
Well, Russell Wilson didn't look great. Deontay Johnson, I haven't seen the kind of upside out of him this season with Ben Roethlisberger that I have with Lockett. Lockett's had some really good games actually.
You forget that Lockett was having some pretty good ones before Geno Smith came in. I think that we can throw that Green Bay game out the window, man. That thing was a slow pace slog, you know, DK Metcalf, what the hell? any other of these running backs that you want to touch on, Trash Man? I mean, you have Jordan Howard on here a little bit lower down.
Jordan Howard,
this whole Wayne Gallman thing's interesting because he came in and he played more than Mike Davis this week when Cordarrelle Patterson got hurt. I think
Davis is on his way out. I mean, Wayne Gallman, I mean, like, I don't know how much upside there is there, but I mean, this definitely he deserves a spot on your bench if it's deep enough.
So we outlined earlier that Atlanta's playing on Thursday night, so it's going to be a quick turnaround for Cordarrelle, who they said had a high ankle sprain. But I just got the alert on the Fantasy Life app. Cordarrelle's out of practice today. He's practicing. So that should it kind of takes me a little bit off of, you know, boosting Wayne Gallman too far up here, because I would have figured that Cordarrelle was certainly out this week just as far as how important he's been. George Cook's asking, in terms of waivers, do you get Gallman or Davis? That's a good question. I think that if Mike Davis was on waivers, I would go ahead and try and get him over Wayne Gallman. I would think it feels like the Wayne Gallman stuff was that. It's really, really hard to judge usage in a game wherever Trash Man's Cowboys beat the pants off of these fucking idiots by how many points, Trash Man? I don't even remember
40.
Remember the final score. It was just disgusting. So,
or 30.
Yeah. I think
43-3 or 43-13. I think I don't know.
We just saw in the first game in this last kind of since Calvin Ridley went out, we just saw at that point in time there was this shift, right? To where Cordarrelle Patterson was playing more as a wide receiver and where Mike Davis was getting more of the work as the traditional running back, like kind of we had maybe initially thought. Well, now in this game that goes completely sideways, we start to get to see some Wayne Gallman. So I don't know about that. Before we get to wide receiver, Trash Man, we have Baby Santa in the chat asking, somebody offered him Kamara for Saquon straight up. He's 7-3 with JT as his RB1. What are your thoughts? I just say with Kamara, why would you want to do that whenever Kamara is the one who's kind of injured right now with this weird nebulous injury? You know, I would say
Saquon is split carries with Mark Ingram.
Saquon is now, they're saying, back running, cutting, ready to go, looking explosive, looking like 100%. You know that a coach like Joe Judge, even if that team is down the shitter, I don't think they're going to give up. I think from the very top, even guys like Gettleman will tell him, look, you know, try and win some games. We don't all want to get fired here. Jason Garrett does not want to get fired. He's probably on the firing line. So no, I would roll with Saquon and go with JT and Saquon, brother. That's a good two guys to have. You can hope to maybe get Saquon back. You know, I mean, from the reporting, maybe this as early as this week, but I would think certainly by next week. It's not going to be the best matchup this week though, as the Giants have to go at Tampa Bay and the Bucks. All right, Trash Man, what about wide receiver? I think there's only one guy here at the very top that we're sort of interested in making a semi-significant free agent budget bid at. Let's talk about him.
Let's talk about Michael Gallup. First game back, he filled right in that third receiver spot, taking Noah Brown and Cedric Wilson's targets, you know, combined, which could
and Dalton Schultz's.
Well, Dalton Schultz, it's one of those things where I feel like the Cowboys, I feel like in games where there's stiffer competition, they tend to go to Dalton Schultz more often. I think they tend to air it out a little bit more whenever, you know, they feel like they can. And I think Michael Gallup, you know, taking Cedric Wilson and Noah Brown's targets, maybe could average around 7-8 looks a game, maybe.
We also, I mean, we always have Rashad Bateman on here as long as he's going to be under own. I mean, Darnell Mooney, I just, it feels like he should be, he just feels like he should be owned, right? Elijah Moore too. I think that all these guys, I guess Elijah Moore's got a little bit of a junky situation. I feel like these guys are a little bit farther down the totem pole. Jamal Agnew just keeps coming through, man. I've just started playing him in my leagues. I've just started playing him. It's worked out all right as a wide receiver.
Three. They're using him how I thought they would use Laviska Shenault. Or how he should be being used.
Well, I mean, my theory, you've heard me talk about it on the SiriusXM show. My theory is they're just, you know, Urban Meyer's tilted that he's not going to have Travis Etienne, and he's tilted that he didn't get Kadarius Toney. And so he's just like, fuck it. I had a role and vision for these guys, and I'm going to make Jamal Agnew that dude for me, man. Like, after I've seen all these huge kick returns he's made and everything like that. And I think that that's sort of what's going on with that guy. It's pretty interesting, Trash. We talked about Deontay Foreman earlier. We have another former Texas Longhorn on the Tennessee Titans. That Tennessee Titans offense, man, they got Deontay Foreman. They got Jeff Swaim. They got Marcus Johnson. It isn't quite like the Baltimore Ravens who have the Marquise Brown and the Mark Andrews and all those guys from the Oklahomas of the world. But
no, but I mean, they're doing more with them than Texas ever did.
Yeah, that sure is true. That sure is true. Marcus Johnson, you know that Major Applewhite threw a fit whenever Darryl Wyatt offered him. Those guys were co-offensive coordinators at the time, and Applewhite apparently wanted to rescind that offer. So yeah, they didn't do too much with him. Any of these other guys, Brian Edwards is getting a bunch of deep shots, a bunch of deep targets. I couldn't believe Traquan Smith. It seems like they just looked at him in the red zone almost every time. Yeah. What do you think? Is anybody you wanted to touch on here?
DeAndre Carter. The football team, he looks like the number two there. There's probably not going to be a Curtis Samuel this season. Carter, you know, two straight back-to-back games with over 50 yards and a touchdown. He's an intriguing. And then Will Fuller could be coming back soon. And as long as Devontae is out there and Patrick is there out there and for the Dolphins, he could be somebody worth rolling with for the Dolphins.
As long as what? Oh, Devontae Parker?
Yeah.
Okay. What about tight ends? I mean, Logan Thomas is coming back. It seems like he was set to come back this week, but when he got into practice after he was designated to come off of IR, they said his first practice back, he just felt too damn sore, which is never good to hear. But generally, that's something where you just say, all right, we're going to take it easy on him for this next week. Now it feels like that their hand could be forced because Ricky Seals-Jones was hurt. I haven't seen his status, you know, come into this week. We'll have to monitor that. But it looks like Ricky Seals-Jones is a little bit banged up. They were having to run out some real, real backup kinds of dudes. It would be just what the doctor ordered to get Logan Thomas back this week. So certainly he'd be a guy who I would, you know, if I'm in tight end hell, which a bunch of us are, I think that that's a great pickup. And, of course, Dan Arnold. I mean, if he's available in your league, he shouldn't be. He looks like basically Trevor Lawrence's favorite receiving weapon here. And, I mean, it's like it makes sense because Urban Meyer is not going to trade away C.J. Henderson to Carolina, who was a former number one pick cornerback, a first-round pick at cornerback, to the Panthers for some guy who he wasn't, you know, some geek off the street who he wasn't planning on integrating immediately into the offense. So bad team. Not the best situation, but Dan Arnold just feels really, really safe each week.
Yeah, he does. As is Tyler Conklin recently, you know, he seems to have a pretty high floor there in Minnesota every week. And then
He's had some good matchups lately.
Yeah. Gerald Everett there in Seattle, I mean, led the team out in targets this week. I think as Russell Wilson is kind of acclimating, you know, back to getting up to game speed and his hand isn't maybe 100%, I think Gerald Everett's going to serve as kind of a safety valve for him. At least he did in this first game back and could for the next couple games.
All right. Let me see here. I got to add Miami on there with Tua. Tua's got some nice matchups coming up. If you just want to talk, and then Cam Newton, are you spending up for him? Do you care? I mean, you've always been a Cam guy. you always love his outfits and his
I don't love his Byron always assumes that I love his outfits.
Why does he dress like a pilgrim sometimes?
I think it's just those flat brimmed hats that make him look like a pilgrim.
Is that what it is? No, yeah. I think he's got like shoes that swirl up on the end and big belt buckles and stuff.
So you're describing a leprechaun to me.
Oh, baby. Like a sort of like a swashbuckling leprechaun pilgrim.
Yeah, I don't know.
Giant, right?
Yeah,
giant.
You know, I love Cam. I feel like it's just so tough because you saw what he did or didn't do for the Patriots last year.
And what he did was he ran in how many touchdowns did he run in? 14?
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, Christian McCaffrey's their guy in the red zone. So, if you want some upside in a quarterback, if you're in a two quarterback league and you want some upside that could potentially win the league for you, I think Cam could do that potentially.
Yeah. All right. And then the defenses, you guys can go look on the
sheet. One more question. There was one.
Oh, let's see. There's another question here. Oh, another question from our dude, Baby Santa here. Do you think Gronk comes back and is in the same form he had early this season? Because I don't think they're going to bring him back until he is exactly in that form. Like it's one of the main reasons I'm goosey about how soon Antonio Brown's going to come back. Is a guy who manages that guy and really wants him back. I know how much Tom Brady trusts him. I know how much he likes him. I know how much these guys are keeping their plan is to go win a championship, you know, and it's just like in fantasy football. I mean, these teams understand you can't peak too early. You know, you want to have some, you know, if you can make it by and you can win with some things in reserve.
Especially in the longer season now.
Yeah. Okay. Oh,
Julio Jones safe to drop.
Oh, wait. I'll ask you that last, Trash Man. Mm. Let's get into safe to drop. If you guys have safe to drop questions, go ahead and get them. I've taken some from off the site where people have asked questions, some from here in the comments section. Again, if you're watching this on YouTube, man, we ask you guys, please, if you could just click that you like it and subscribe, it really helps us out a lot.
Oh, just Damian Harris returns for Patriots walkthrough.
For walkthrough?
Yeah.
Well, do you know what that shows? He's progressing through the protocol. Should we move Ramondre Stevenson down before we publish this?
Yeah.
Maybe none of these
walk through. Like if he gets through the protocol, he's good.
Do you know what? None of these guys are 15% kind of guys.
I didn't think so.
I think all those guys need to be at the top of a 10% tier. Do you think?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's do that. I'm going to switch that up right now. Okay. Yeah, I like the looks of that. But I think you can get Deontay Foreman for 10%.
I don't think anybody.
That's what I want people to do.
I don't think anybody's hot on Deontay Foreman.
No, they.
I'm just saying. If you look at the touches, like knowing the situation, yeah. But I'm just thinking a lot of people, if they just look at the box score, they're not going to be quite as bullish.
Yeah, I don't want our members really, really having to pay up for Stevenson if it turns out that, you know, I think if you can get him on a good deal right now and speculate, these are, like we said, they're warts with these guys. They're speculative. So go and check out the cheat sheet at Roster Watch. All right, let's get into it. I've added some more names here. So let's just start out. Khalil Herbert, safe to drop?
Yes.
What if you're a David Montgomery owner still?
Yeah.
Russell Gage. Talk about a dude that just gives you fucking goose eggs. This guy, man, he just sucks. Jarrett Patterson.
Yes.
It's a similar name. D'Ernest Johnson. Big week this last week.
How close is Kareem?
Well, he'll have one more week after this. So this week
you need to hold on to Ernest.
Kenneth Gainwell.
No.
Don't
you can,
no.
I mean you, no you can drop him. No, you
yes,
you
don't
go
yes.
on to him. I don't.
Devin Singletary.
You can't drop him, yeah.
Really?
No. He scored this week and had – I think he and Zach Moss had around the same amount of touches this week.
Yeah, I
mean, the whole Matt Breida thing,
that's what was worrying me. This was the Matt Breida stuff. Like, you see that guy –
I think Matt Breida bites into Zach Moss potentially more than a Devin Singletary.
Devin Singletary, only 8 touches in this game, 38% of snaps. That was Matt Breida playing those 14% of snaps and getting those 2 touchdowns. Just crazy, yeah. Man. All right. So Devin Singletary, just a kind of a paper hands hold there, man. Definitely no diamond hands on Devin Singletary. What about Laviska Shenault?
I mean, you can drop him depending on the size of the league.
I think you can drop him, period. Look at his – I mean, I hate to just look at game logs, but if you look at the underlying numbers, they've been miserable, and the game logs haven't shown anything else. Has he even gotten double-digit points this season? I'm not sure he has.
Maybe once.
Jamal Williams.
No.
I guess they're asking just because he's been so hurt, you know. And then you had Jamar Jefferson come in and look really good this last week.
I don't know if Jamar Jefferson's going to play this week.
Trey Lance. I guess somebody's holding him is.
if it's not a keeper dynasty league, yeah.
Jeff Wilson.
No.
Yeah, somebody's saying in here that they think that he's the handcuff to Mitchell. I think he kind of is, but we've seen that. Through the course of this deal, he's going to get some work as far as the goal line and stuff. And also, look, man, Elijah Mitchell only weighs 200. He was 201 at the Senior Bowl. So I think at his pro day he was 203. So it's not like that guy. If they're going to be pounding him between the tackles like this, it's not like he's a true lock to hold up. We've already seen that he's had some time on the injury report, very questionable to play as recently as this week. All right, Boston Scott, is he safe to drop?
No.
Is there any reason why? You just think?
Well, he and Jordan Howard saw about the same amount of snaps. I mean,
yeah, but I mean, don't you? But still, I mean, it's kind of a shitty situation. And Miles Sanders is going to be back eventually.
I think until Miles Sanders comes back, I'm holding on to Scott.
I can't believe we finally got in here, trash man. But it's the best question that anybody's asked. And shout out to MK in the chat. Can you drop Julio Jones?
Yes.